Jesus feeds the 5,000 and confronts the crowd. Just turn to the person next to you and ask them, het jy al gekook vir 50 mense? I think you take a big piece of sausage and you just cut it into small piece each and then it's pop, né Ben? Pop, melk en suiker, klaar. Any case, this is a very interesting time in the ministry of Christ. It's a very interesting message that he speaks to the crowd. It's quite a confronting message. And it's also going to be quite confronting for us. But it makes 100% sense. So I know that this will land well with us. I'm going to give you some background. What happens at this moment here is Jesus finds himself at the second Passover of his public ministry. Okay, now, his public ministry started when he turned over the tables in the temple at Jerusalem at Passover. Everyone was there, and he chased the priests out, basically saying, no one knows this man. He comes in, he says, I'm greater than the priests. That was the launch of his public ministry. Passover after that was the Passover where he called Matthew, and this is the one after that. It's this time that Jesus feeds the 5,000. So he's been busy for 2 years. Right? Now, just after he started his public ministry, there was a time which biblical scholars called the time of popularity. He went from Jerusalem back to Galilee, past a woman that was sitting by a well that was gathering water on his way back home. Through that woman changed the whole town. Okay, went back to Galilee where he used to live. And many amazing miracles happened. First thing he did is he just gathered the disciples. Then at one stage, there's a man that comes through the roof because his friends has got faith that Christ will heal him. Jesus says an interesting thing. He says, because of your faith, plural, because of the faith of these men. I don't even know if a man on the, I don't know, a stretcher had faith at all. But boom, changes. And about 50 people was in that house and probably 100 outside. One stage he heals the centurion's daughter without going there. He raises Jairus' daughter. A lot of miracles happen and his popularity grows. And what happens at this stage is that when crowds know where he is, they tend to gather there. They would just go out of their hometowns and try to be with him. And at the early stage of his ministry, what would Jesus say when he heals someone? Who wants to take a shot? What would he often say? Does an amazing work, and then he says, your faith has saved you, and sin no more. These are the two things he replies to that person. Always, your faith has saved you, or their faith. But then he will often, in the beginning of his ministry, especially, would say, don't tell anyone about this. You see, at that moment, what he wants to do is he wants people to hear the message of the kingdom. What is the message of the kingdom of God? Repent from your sins, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or repent and give your life to Christ. But because of all the miracles, the people were coming for the miracles. And so he's trying to shh a lot of the people. No, no, don't make that the highlight. I've got a message. This happens almost at the apex of that time where he feeds the 5,000. This is a long chapter in John. By the way, just for those of you who loves reading through the Gospels, okay, John is different than the other Gospels. The other Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. You can almost see the same trend through all the Gospels. Except for Matthew, because he writes a lot of topical fashions in the beginning. So he'll draw the topics together. Luke and Mark pretty much moves in order as a timeline would. John stands back and he writes a lot of stuff that the other guys did not point to. They didn't try and duplicate a lot of things. So you'd often get a story in John that you won't find in the other Gospels because he would focus on that. You also find no parable in John. Not one. Because doesn't focus on retelling everything. Focuses a lot on Jesus' teachings And he's the only one that focuses on Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. In any case, he takes this opportunity and he goes in deep. Mark would have given this two sentences. All right? He goes, he writes about, I think, 70 verses. So we're not going to read every verse. Jesus speaks to a group of people. He almost repeats it to a different group and he repeats it to a different group. All right? So at one stage, we're going to jump a bit. Go read for yourself. You'll see we're actually keeping track of the conversation. All right? John 6, verse 2, and a large crowd, this is before he feeds them, was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Just before this happens, okay, if you put the Gospels together, he sent out the disciples and he sent them out a very specific way. He said, don't take any food, don't take any clothes. They came back rejoicing, can't believe what happened, the demons fled. The sick was healed. At that moment they came back, Jesus says, let's take a break. Here we are on the mountain, taking a break. And the crowds find him. They are gathered. Scripture says he's got compassion on them and he wants to feed them. So we're jumping to verse 10. He says, have the people sit down now. Now there was much grass on the place. And so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. And then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. Right, and we know the story. There was only a little bit of bread and fish. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. Then I'm just skipping a few. They're gathering up. And now Jesus perceives something. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now you need to understand what's happening here. His popularity is growing. There was one miracle that happened. The next one. And at this stage, 2 years later, it's a bit of a riot. Okay, it's scary. And they don't even have a megaphone, all right? And so at this stage, they want to take him because what he's doing and force him to rule over them. I'm going to tell the story of the next 10 verses, all right? So what happens is Jesus goes to the mountain, and the disciples gets in a boat, and they go to Capernaum in a boat. What happens that night is there's a storm, and we enter the story where Jesus comes walking on the water, because he was not with them in the boat, he was on the mountain, right? So he walks on the water, these guys face a storm, and they're lekker geëet vis en brood. And this is the storm, and you weet die als wat gebeur. Jesus comes walking on the sea, they're scared of him, he says, don't worry, it's me. The moment he gets on the boat, what happens? They just ashore. I don't know how that works. Jesus can do that kind of stuff. That's what scripture says. The crowds, this is Villa Honor, they awake the next morning. They're like, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? He did not leave on that boat because they know he did not leave. So, but he's not on the mountain as well. So they get in their boats and they found him on the other side. All right? And so this is where they found him. Verse 25, they found him on the other side. They said, Rabbi, how did you come here? When did you come? In some translation said, how did you get here? Because, they know he wasn't on the boat. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't answer their question because he does not need to fuel their desire for any more signs. So he just goes straight to something else. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves, because you were filled by the loaves. Okay. Christ is coming to a place where his popularity grew. A lot of people knew about him. A lot of people know about the signs. And some of them has heard the message from John the Baptist and from Jesus himself. And he's about ready to be very honest with these people. To divide those who are mesmerized by him from those who really love him. That's what's about to happen here. And what he's saying here is he's basically saying, you want to make me king? Because you'll never have to work another day in your life. Because you just know I'll give you food. But that's what it comes down to. Because of what he can do, because of how he can serve the people, they want to make him king. And that's what he's saying. All right? They're very selfish. At this moment, that's why they're following him. And so Jesus goes on and he says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. What you just had on the other side is nothing. It's nothing. People prepare meals. But work for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So Christ is taking attention from all these signs, including the last one, and he's beginning to turn it towards himself. Can you see that happen? Then he goes on. And so they say, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe? What work do you perform? Look at that wording. Come on. Bring some more fish and bread. Do it again. Do something for us. And then they say, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So they go back. Jesus says, no. Do not labor for the food that perishes. They go back to the signs. So the next verse, Christ answers again. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. He's trying to do this. Can you see that? He's trying to do this. Look at me. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to this world. Then they say, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said, they are still with bread. Because you can see Christ needs to hammer, and he goes on this whole chapter. It's unbelievable. He says, I am the bread. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you, that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. So they're not getting this. You may be getting it at this moment. They did not get that. Next verse, the 36, it says, but I said to you, you have seen me and yet you do not believe. Right? Then he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And in that verse, what I want you to see is that when the Father touches the heart of someone who's turning to Christ, look where the focus is. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes, I will never cast out. Right? Verse 40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. This is what it's about. This is what Jesus is saying. What a mouthful. To everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Before we go on, I just want you to see that. He who looks on the Son, or puts his faith in him, or relies on him, he will have eternal life. Whoever looks on anything different will not have eternal life. At that moment, the crowds was focused on bread and fish, the provision, and Jesus calls them higher. He wants to take them from the flesh into the spirit. So I want you to understand this with your hearts. Now, what I'm going to do is we're just going to take... I'm going to go back to verse 27. I'm not going to keep you too long. And I want to show you what Jesus wants to do. And I want to land something very, very important amongst us. It's very straight. And it's also very confronting in nature. But, I mean, you sense Jesus' love there, right? You see how he loves the crowd. Let's just read this again, verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father set his seal. Okay. So these people are so sign-focused. And Christ don't even want to tell them that he actually ran on water. How would that be in Olympics that time? Okay, so we're going to do the item run on water, and we only have one person. And he's not interested in telling them that. He just goes straight to work. Okay, here's the thing. Christ does not have a problem with people relating to natural things. We have to understand. He ate himself. He was hungry himself. That is not the issue. He loves it that we work. Do you know that? Work was part of this world before sin. Sometimes we think work is like, oh, sondag. No. Adam was given like a lot of stuff to do before sin. It's great when we work. Why? Because our God is a productive God. He loves, he works, he's fruitful. He loves it when we are fruitful. And so often Christ will come to the fisherman, and he would say, you've done well, you caught fish, now I want to make you a fisher of men. And so he uses what is natural, and he translates it to what is spiritual. And so he loves this example. I can see him. Listen, bread makes you full, but let me tell you about eternal bread. That's me. All right? Speaks to the woman at the well. Man, water is great, and it's good that you come here to get water. You better drink it because your system needs it. But there's a water when you drink it, you will never thirst again. That's me. Can you see how he works? Think of the parables. The kingdom of God is like what? A seed. I love seeds. Jesus loves seeds. He loves how it works. He said, says in one parable, a seed, no one even knows how it grows. He goes to bed, he wakes up, something happened. The kingdom of God is like that. You don't understand it. Just obey. Okay, so God doesn't have an issue. And often when the crowds would come to him, they would come because of natural needs. In the natural, they are poor. So they come. They come to him. And he's okay with that. So what does he do? He feeds them. Bread, fish, eat people. He's got compassion. He loves them, so he feeds them physically. But then he wants them to make a shift. Okay, guys, I want you to now move from eating fish and bread. Listen, I am the bread of life. And some has got the ability to move and some can't make that move. Get to that right now. Today, in churches around the world, people primarily come to church because of a condition of poverty in the heart. You need something. I came to church because I needed something. Something was not right in my life, so I came. It's okay. God understands that today people are here in this town all over the world because of different needs. Some people literally are at church because they want to trust God for a job. It's good to work. And often these things bring us in. Many people come to church. Because they want a husband. Amen? Is it wrong? I guess it's okay to start there. In a good place. Many men come to church because they want a wife. I think it's okay. We come to Christ. We come into his presence for various reasons initially. We come to him because we are lonely. I don't know anyone in this town. I have no friends. No one wants to play Xbox with me. No one wants to play with me because I beat everyone. Yeah. Vraag vir Brown in Regis, Twitter. We come to God because we have needs. Amen? But here's the thing. We can't make the shift. We will not continue with Him. That is the truth. Let me explain to you how this works. These men come to Christ. He's explaining to them that they are still looking at Him. They're looking at spiritual richness, spiritual bread through the lenses of earthly bread. They are looking at the Savior of the world through the terms of give us food and be our king. And they're trying to figure Him out, and it cannot work that way. All right? And in church, we do exactly the same. I don't have a job and I need a husband, and I look at God through that lens. He must provide that for me. We do exactly the same as these people. And you know what the problem is with that? Is you can never win. Because let me explain to you what happens. When the man comes primarily, I'm just using relationships. A lot of us, love is in the air, it's spring. I've checked some Facebook profile updates, change, stuff like that. Any case, if I come to him because he must give me a wife, I will leave him one day if something does not shift. Because here's the thing, what if he does not give me a wife? I'm out of here. What if he gives me a wife? I'm out of here. You see, kingdom cannot be received through earthly lenses. It does not work that way. If I come because I just need a job, Lord, I'm here because if I worship you, you will look after me, and he will. He will. But here's the thing. If you don't get a job soon enough, you will leave him because you are here for the job. You're here for the bread and the fish. But if you get a job, you will also leave because your vision has been and he doesn't want anyone to leave, so he wants him to, guys, make the shift, come on board here with me. I want you to be with me. Are you with me, guys? You see, what he wants to do is he wants you to shift in the spirit so that you put on his glasses. And then look at all these things, all these bread that perishes. It's very important. So what he wants to do is he wants to shift your heart to be with him and put your hands on earth. And so you earn a salary and you marry all these things, but everything is subjected to your heart, which is in Christ. So you've got no problem being generous with your finances. You know it perishes. Your heart is with him. It's the other way around. Important shift that needs to happen. Now let me show you what happens. We're jumping a few verses. 20. He's just having the same argument with the Jews in the synagogue. Right? He says, as the living Father has sent me, he's on this thing still, come on guys, make the shift. And I live because of the Father. So whoever feeds on me, he will live because of me. Whatever that desire is you come into church with, he will meet it in him. Whatever, if you are lonely, he will be there first. You'll never be lonely again, even if there's no humans around you for a whole week or month. He will, whoever feeds on me, will live. Come on guys, make the shift. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Not like the breads the fathers ate. They died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Check this out. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. The pinnacle of his popularity. Everyone loves Jesus. He heals everyone. He did not even know that I touched him. I touched him from behind and I got healed. He's amazing. Then he comes, it's about me. So many people come for earthly food, but they stay there. And so here's the thing, guys, if you're a leader here and if you love people, you can come in whichever way you want to. Christ knows that, he understands. If you're weak, come. But as soon as people come, don't give them a watered-down gospel. He's not here to make you feel nice. He's not here to make sure on earth everything goes well. If we teach people that, they will walk away from God. Come with your earthly need. He will meet it in heaven. And from there you will rule and reign. Many followed him no more. And so we see this later on. We see how Paul got this. We see he writes, he says in Philippians, there's times when I had so many stuff and I was close to God. There's times when I had nothing. But here's the thing, it doesn't really matter whether I've got this thing that perish in my hand or not. It's going to perish. I can do all things through Christ, is what he says. He says, if I live, it's okay, but if I die, it's actually gain. Because can you see, he's made the shift. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's a faith that will stand through the ups and the downs of this world. Why? Because your faith is not here. It's hidden in Christ, in God. Most people who walk away from God walk away because the lenses, the expectations they have is that hy moet vis en brood maak vir ons. God says no. You to slot and I want you to understand this. I lift you up to understand and see through the heavenly lens. Are you with me? And you can apply this to every single area of human need. Jesus wants to meet it. Come with a need to present it humbly. He will touch you. So, he asks this question. He turns to the 12. He says, do you want to go as well? He's on a roll here. We've had this Project Phoenix galore. I'll be back. Yeah. I had to do that. And Peter answers, he says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We see what you're saying. Now, if you have to rewind in Peter's life, let me tell you what. Jesus asked him at this point a legitimate question. This is about 2 years and a few months since this man first ran into Christ. The first time he saw Jesus, he was with John the Baptist. John the Baptist says, no, here's the Lamb of God. And so they left John. John was a great disciple. He pointed to Christ. His disciples left him. The first time he saw Christ, went with him to a wedding. Jesus turned water into wine. Jesus left. Peter went back fishing. Okay? His eyes were still looking for earthly stuff back then. Jesus comes back, he fetches Peter, he says, listen, put your nets out on that side. That's about 6 months later. He says, okay. Jesus gives him the very thing he craves, physical fish, physical food. We're back with the food now. Jesus says, let me show you what I do with these things that perishes. And so the boat almost sinks and everyone almost drowns because there's too much fish. There's all the fish, all the riches this man has ever dreamt of his whole life. And what does he do? He turns his back to the fish. He goes on his knees. He says, I'm holy. No, you're holy. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. Can you see how it shifted in his life? Now I see. Everything you just gave me, I don't need this. That day, most successful fisherman probably in the history of the world, that's the day he left his trade. The day when the business came in, he left it, followed Christ. Made a shift. And so 2 years later, he's seen a lame man healed through the roof. He's seen many things. And just before this moment, it's very important, you must get this. Jesus sends him out with the others. And what does he tell him to take with? Nothing. You don't take food with you. You don't take clothes with you. You take a stick. If the wild animal comes, can you from sweet here? Okay. I bet you they were hungry. I bet you they were cold. But there's one thing they had in them. The kingdom of God. You see, he was connecting them to something higher. And so when these people on the mountains were fighting about food, they already came back from a journey where they had nothing except Jesus. So he said, staying with you whether we die on this mountain. And so here's what I see. I see a lot of people coming into church teen 'n stinkspoet. Amper hier by die ander kant uit. And I'm not saying scriptures implying this directly, but show me for 2 years that you are faithful. Show me that you can go hungry, but you have it. Show me that you can, whatever he's laying on your heart, do it faithfully. And after 2 years, you will have learned to trust. If he would come and he would say, focus on me, it's I know you. I know what you mean, God. You're enough for me. Enough for me and my family. I've learned to shift my heart to you, and my hands are here. Is your marriage important to God? It will also perish. Do you know that? It's very important. But your heart should be with him so that your hands can deal well. Amen? So if you are new around here, within your first year of church, get to know him. These things are only forms. It's only the worship team is just here to help us. You can't rely your worship on the team. They're here to help. That's for inspiration. Okay? Get to know him at home. Get momentum here. Do as much as you can to make the shift from, oh, I've got physical needs. Oh, I'm provided for the Spirit. I know. Because there will come a time in the second or third year where there will be a storm over your faith. And he will come and he will say, he will pack it out. 1, 2, 3, 4, or me. And you'd say, I choose you. And on the other side of that decision, life's going to start happening. It's going to break open like never before. But, let's go back. Many, just go back to the previous verse, please. Unfortunately, at that moment, many will turn back and no longer be with him. Application, get to know him personally, face to face. Know him when it's going great with you. Know him when it's going bad. Be honest about it. So we're not saying as a terrible hand you ignore him. Now cry about it. Connect with him. Even in those humble moments, he's connecting with you. I'll even encourage you, if it's going great with you and your friend is going through a difficult time, climb into your friend's world and mourn and cry with them. Get to know people in their weakness. It's okay. Because he will meet you there. With me tonight, everyone. And you're understanding what I'm trying to bring here. It's about him. Maybe this is to a specific crowd, just for a moment. The rest of you guys, I don't care, you're sitting in on a family meeting, that's okay. Small group leaders. Many will come and many will go. Let it break your heart for a while, but don't let it break you. They're not leaving you. Many choose not to walk for them. So love them, invite them back, be there for them, but don't let it break you. It's not personal. God's doing great work. If you're a small group, just stand up for a moment. I just want to honor you guys for a second. Stand up, just calm, you see? Mark will get in along, see? I want to tell you guys that I've served God for nog kort teen ander mense, but more than 15 years. I will submit anyone of you small groups. I will close my mouth and I will listen to you guys because you've got wisdom. I will listen and I will learn. If I can do it, new believers will do it as well when they see. Amen. You guys are doing great work. Let's give them a clap. We don't always know the heartache and break these people go through. They do amazing work. Let's finish off tonight. John 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. It's me. You found it. Some people run around in little groups of prophets trying to find something. There's nothing to find. It's a city on a hill. Everyone knows it. It's Jesus. All you need to discover is how to give over to Him. Whoever shall come to me, whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That is a very bold promise. And so I want to tell everyone tonight, whether you know Him or don't know Him at all, or if you've known Him for a while, if you register a hunger or thirst, you've moved your nose away from His nose. You're not face to face. Get your face back in His face. And take hold of this promise. You will not hunger when you serve Him. You will not thirst. You will be full. You might get many blessings because He's a good Father, but you don't even need them. You've got everything. Who can take Him away from you? Who can try and remove His face from yours? Let them try. They will die. Okay. His name is the enemy. He's not got a very great future awaiting him. Let's stand.